Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahilladzi kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladzina istafa amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'ani majidul furqanil hamid. A'udzu billahi minasy syaithanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasanah. Shadaqallahul 'adzim. After Asr, we were busy discussing the noble qualities of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in particular the quality of tolerance. So the verse which I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That surely for you in the Messenger of Allah is a beautiful example to follow. So these qualities of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam were there in order for us to inculcate within us and to mold our lives also in accordance with those qualities as far as possible. Because this is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain also used to do. They used to sit in the company of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the ways of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sit with undivided attention in the company of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously, it was something natural that the qualities of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would brush off onto the Sahaba as well. So this quality, attribute of tolerance, which means to be patient in the face of adversity, to swallow one's anger, to forgive even one's enemies. This was a trait of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba also portrayed this. In one battle, which was fought against the Jews, Hazrat Ali karamullah wajhahu managed to floor a Jewish opponent, overpowering him. And the only thing left was to plunge his sword into the body of the Jew. He was about to do that when the Jew spat on the face of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. When this happened, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala immediately pulled back his sword. He did not kill the person. Perhaps it was you and I, in that condition, if the enemy has to spit on our faces, even if we had thoughts of sparing the person, those thoughts would have been banished and would have been determined to kill the person sooner than later. But he, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, pulled back his sword. Even this Jew was astonished and he said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala that you had me within your grasp. You could have killed me immediately. Why did you grant me reprieve when I spat on your face? So the beautiful reply he gave, he said, up to that point of time, I was waging war on the battlefield for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he spat on my face, then my ego came to the fore. Now I felt that if I will kill you, I'll do it for my self-gratification, for my satisfaction, because you had spat on me. And that sincerity to do it for the pleasure of Allah, that would have disappeared. When this Jewish person heard this reply, he was so overtaken, overwhelmed, that it drew him closer to Islam, and eventually he recited the Kalima, and he became a Muslim. That what a beautiful religion, that nothing is done for self-ego, for one's own satisfaction. Whatever is done, even waging war on the battlefield, is done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this incident we learn two lessons. One is the way Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala managed to control his anger, swallow his anger, in spite of that enemy spitting on his face. And secondly, we learn the lesson of the importance of sincerity of intention. That whatever is done should be done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On this aspect, that when a person wants to do something, a virtue, a good deed, it should be done solely to please Allah. Another example of this in more recent times, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, one of his favorite from his Asatida, one of his favorite ustaz was Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, who was a very clever, brilliant person, highly intellectual. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, after graduation, he went to go teach in a madrasa in Kanpur, known as Jami'ul Ulum. One is Khanpur, that is situated in Gujarat, where Mufti Ahmad Sahib Khanpuri, the Dhamma Barakatu, originates from. But this is Kanpur, which is in the UP province of India. It is famous for its leather industry, a big town, a city in fact, with many colleges, universities. When Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah went to go teach in a madrasa in Kanpur in Jami'ul Ulum, he noticed that there were some so-called intellectuals educated in the universities that used to brag about their intellectual abilities. In particular, they had studied in the university in the field of philosophy, logic. So they felt that there is no one that can compete with them in this field. Yet, our ulama-i kiram in the Darul Ulooms, they also do these books. Today, in a bit of a lesser capacity, but in the old days, even the higher books of logic and philosophy were taught and learnt in the Darul Ulooms, books such as Sharh Tahdhib, Mir Qutbi, Mullah Hassan, Mabdi, and books on Falsafa, Hadiya Sa'idiya, and many other prominent books in philosophy. So the ulama were also well acquainted with this science, with this field. When Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah saw these so-called intellectuals educated in the universities bragging about their intelligence, then Hazrat Thanvi decided to invite his ustaz from Deoband, Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, in order to impress upon these people, to show these people that even the Maulvis are well acquainted with these fields. So anyhow, that Maulana accepted the invitation, a big jalsa was organized, stage was set up, and before the jalsa, Hazrat Thanvi did explain to his ustaz that this is the difficulty you are facing here, that the intellectual so-called of this town feel that the Maulvis don't know anything, they look down upon us. So I felt it was appropriate that you come and give a lecture, a bayan, where they can also understand that yes, the ulama-i kiram are also well versed in these fields. So his ustaz kept quiet in that silence, as if in the affirmative. He was ready to give the talk. The stage was set. He went onto the stage and he began his bayan. And as he began to warm up, he reached that point of the bayan, that juncture, where he began to speak in philosophical terms and he explained certain laws of logic, philosophy. He was just warming up when he noticed these so-called gentlemen that now walked into the jalsa. They came in a bit late. When Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah's gaze fell on these people, as soon as he looked at them, he immediately stopped his bayan and he got off the stage. Hazrat Thanvi was also very much astonished, perplexed. People were wondering. Nevertheless, whichever other speakers were there after the jalsa, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah went very sadly to his ustaz with a disappointed face, that Hazrat, these people walked in at that opportune moment when he started speaking on aspects of philosophy, logic. You were merely warming up. That was a time to impress on their minds that how well you and we are acquainted with these fields of logic and philosophy. So Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah replied, that was the very reason why I cut short my talk, while I stopped my talk. Because up to that point of time, my bayan was being given solely for the pleasure of Allah. But when I saw these people, then my ego came into play. My nafs said to me that now impress on their minds how intellectual you are, what intellectual prowess you possess. So he said, no sooner has this thought come into my mind, than now if I'm going to give the bayan, I'm going to give it so that people can say, wah wah, they can praise me, what an intellectual person. Now it was no longer for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the reason why I cut short my talk. Where will you find sincerity of this nature? That whatever they did for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the pivotal aspects of our Sharia, cornerstone of our Sharia. Whatever we do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith it comes to this effect that a person came to Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he posed this question that Ar-Rajulu yuqatilu liyuzkara wal-Rajulu yuqatilu liyusiba min al-mal. Some people go on to the battlefield for name and fame, that people can praise them, that what a brave warrior, what a valiant person, so in order to gain the praises of the public. Other people go on to the battlefield merely for the sake of booty, to get the spoils of war, to enrich themselves. And other people go for various motives. So this person asked, Man hum fi sabilillah? That from all these people, who is in truth fighting in the path of Allah? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, Man qatala litakuna kalimatullahi al-ulya fahuwa fi sabilillah. That the person who fights in order to give prominence to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he fights for the pleasure of Allah, in order to spread the word of Allah, the deen of Allah, not for name and fame, that his name must go up in lights, splash across the newspapers, not for the sake of worldly booty, worldly gain. If he fights solely for the pleasure of Allah, that person is in truth fighting in the path of Allah, because of his sincerity. So nevertheless, when a person has sincerity, then in all matters, this quality of tolerance, or the quality of kindness and compassion we discussed in the last majlis, all these things will fall into place. A person will be able to imbue himself with these qualities. Hazrat Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara, in the neighborhood, there was a Jewish person who had animosity for Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to harass Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he would see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerging from his home, he would throw garbage and trash on the road in front of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to cause inconvenience. He did this for many days. Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overlooked this. He did not seek any revenge, no retaliation. This was the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He bore it with patience, so much so that this Jew could no longer continue with this action of his, and eventually was won over by the tolerance of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the patience of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He came and gave his hand in the hand of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, recited the kalima and became a Muslim. This was by virtue of the tolerance, the hilm, the patience of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallam always showed tolerance. The famous incident in the books of Hadith, where Nabi Sallam dispatched a cavalry, a group of Sahaba on horseback, to a place in Najd. Inna Rasulullah Sallam ba'atha khaylan qibala Najd, in the mountainous regions of the Arabian Peninsula. When they got there, they were confronted by the enemy, which was the tribe of Banu Hanifa. So Allah Ta'ala gave victory to the Muslims. فَجَاءَتْ بِرَجُلٍ مِّن بَنِي حَنِيفَةَ يُقَالَ لَهُ ثُمَامَةُ بْنُ أُثَالَ. They returned from that area with a captive, a prisoner of war, whose name was Thumama bin Uthal. And they brought him to Medina Munawwara. فَرَبَطُوهُ فِي بِسَارِيَةٍ مِّن سَوَارِ الْمَسْجِدِ. With the permission of Nabi Karim Sa'azim, they tied him to one of the pillars of Masjid al-Nabawi. And though there was no formal prison, this was a way of imprisoning captives of war, prisoners of war. Then they tied him to one of the pillars of the masjid. And he was not tied in such a way that his movements were restricted. Perhaps a long rope was used. He could even move around. If he needed to sit down, he could sit down. He needed to lie down and sleep, he could sleep also. meal times, the sahaba would bring food for him, provide food and drink. If he needed to go and relieve himself, an escort would go with him, bring him back, time, bind him again to the pillar. So this was his prison. فَخَرَجَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi Sallam on the first day came out to meet this captive, this prisoner. Nabi Sallam was aware of his name. So Nabi Sallam asked him a question, مَا عِنْدَكَ يَا ثُمَامَةَ. Said, oh Thumama, what do you think about me? What opinion do you hold about me? So he replied, إِنِّي خَيْرٌ إِن تَقْتُلْ تَقْتُلْ ذَا دَمٍ وَإِن تُنْعِمْ تُنْعِمْ عَلَى شَاكِرٍ. Then I have a very good opinion about you. I have heard about your kindness, your compassion, your quality of forgiveness, of giving pardon even to prisoners. But in spite of that, if you kill me, if you execute me, you have the full right of doing so. Because we have shown enmity for your religion, for your deen, we have opposed you, you have all the right. وَإِن تُنْعِمْ تُنْعِمْ عَلَى شَاكِرٍ. Yet if you show kindness and you grant me reprieve, then I shall be ever grateful to you. فَتَرَكَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم left him, kept silent. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْغَدْ. The next day, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم again came to him, posed the same question to him. He gave the same reply. The third day, the same conversation ensued. At the end of the third day, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, أطلقوا ثمامة, release him. I am granting him reprieve. So his bonds were untied. He was freed, and he was free to return to his tribe. But instead of returning to his tribe, فذهب إلى نخل قريبا من المسجد فاغتسل ثم جاء إلى المسجد فقال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. So he had the freedom to return to his people, and another occasion come and attack the Muslims. But no, staying in that environment, that mahal, that beautiful environment of Madinah Munawwara, while being tied to the pillar, also listening to the teaching, the scholars of Rasul Karim Sa'azam in the masjid, observing how the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum majma'in respected Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they revered him, how they showed honor to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This overwhelming to the extent that when he was released, instead of returning to his people upon release, he went to a nearby palm orchard where there was a well, and he drew water from the well, he took a bath, and then he came back to the Masjid al-Nabawi, and in the presence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited the Shahadat. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He became a Muslim. And thereafter, look at the beautiful words he mentioned to Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now being a Muslim, now being Thumama radiallahu ta'ala, he said to Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, ما كان على الأرض وجه أبغض إلي من وجهك فالآن أصبح وجهك أحب الوجوه إلي. He said, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, there was no personality, no face that was more hateful and more despised to me than your face and your personality. But now you have become to me the most beloved of all people on the face of this earth. And then he said, وَمَا كَانَ مِنْ دِينٍ أَبْخَذَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ دِينِكَ فَأَصْبَحَ دِينُكَ أَحَبَّ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَيَّ. There was no religion more hateful in my sight, more despised than your religion of Islam. Now this religion of yours has become to me the most beloved religion in the entire world. وَمَا كَانَ بَلَدٌ أَبْغَضَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ بَلَدِكَ فَأَصْبَحَ بَلَدُكَ أَحَبَّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَيَّ. There was no city more despised by me than your city of Medina Munawwara. Now your city has become to me the most beloved city in the entire world. staying in that mahal, looking at the tolerance, patience of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was at the mercy of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While tied to that pillar, Nabi Sallam could have given instructions that he has caused harm to the Muslimin, execute him. But no. Nabi Sallam granted him reprieve. So then he said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, أخذتني خيلك وأنا أريد العمرة. That when your cavalry got hold of me, arrested me, at that point of time I had an intention to go for Umrah. The Mushrikeen also used to go for Hajj and Umrah. So فماذا ترى? What is your advice? Should I go and complete my Umrah? فبشره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمره أن يعتمر. Nabi Sallam gave him glad tidings on his acceptance of Islam, that inshallah this iman will gain you the pleasure of Allah, give you success in this world and the akhirat. Then Nabi Sallam granted him permission to go to Makkah in order to perform his Umrah. The news had reached Makkah al-Mukarramah that Thumama, who was a mushrik, has now become Muslim. فَقَالَ قَائِلٌ لَهُ سَبَوْتَ يَا ثُمَامَ. Someone came up to him and said, have you forsaken the religion of your forefathers, taken on a new deen, a new religion? He replied, لا ولكن أسلمت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. They had brought Islam, brought Iman upon the hands of the Rasul of Allah, the Messenger of Allah. And then he warned them that you cannot harm a hair of my body. Why? He said, لا والله لا تأتيك من اليمامة حبة حنطة حتى يأذن فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Up to that point of time, the people from his region of Yamama used to send financial assistance for the people of Makkah al-Mukarrama. Grain used to be sent, wheat used to be sent, provisions used to come. So he said to them that from this day onwards, without the permission of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not a single grain of wheat will come to Makkah al-Mukarrama. Because you people are the enemies of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have opposed Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the qualities, noble qualities of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're staying 3 days in that environment. Brought this person into the fall of Islam. That is why ulama say, let us come out of our rotten environments, go into the khidmat, into the suhbat, into the company of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see an amazing transformation in your lives. Take out some time, go out in the path of Allah, in tabligh and da'wat. Spend time in the path of Allah. See the beautiful mahal, environment in the path of Allah. That will bring about an amazing transformation in our lives. Mahal, environment, plays a very important part. This Thumama bin Usal radiallahu ta'ala, just looking at the way the Sahaba revered, honored Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the respect they showed to him, the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved, his humility, his humbleness, his noble qualities were enough to win this person over. When the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah took place, there also something similar occurred. In the year 6 Hijri, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed for a period of 10 years, that hostilities between the Mushrikeen of Makkah and the Muslims of Medina would cease. So when negotiations were taking place in the year of the 6th Hijri, various people came from the Meccan camp, from the Mushrikeen, to have peace talks, to negotiate terms and conditions of the peace treaty with Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the spokesmen of the Mushrikeen that came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during those peace talks and negotiations was a person by the name of Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi. At that time he was a mushrik, later he was also blessed with iman, much later, after the Battle of Taif, in the early stages of the year 9 Hijri, he also became a Muslim. And after entering the fall of Islam, he went to his people, made an effort on them, inviting them to the deen of Allah. He faced a lot of opposition, a lot of enemies he made. One morning, When he went out on his balcony to call out the Adhan, he had reached Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. At that point, from the darkness, an arrow came and it went into his body and he became shaheed. Right at that moment, when he was uttering Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah in the Adhan. So nevertheless, when negotiations were taking place about the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi, radiallahu ta'ala, we say, because he died as a Muslim, was a Sahabi, but at that point of time he was a Mushrik. So whatever he had to speak, converse with Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi, he spoke, and then he spent a little while. The narration says, فَجَعَلَ عُرْوَةُ يَرْمُقُ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Then he began to observe and scrutinize carefully the behavior of the companions of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that I was astonished to see many things. He says himself, وَاللَّهِ مَا تَخَتَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ نُخَامَةً إِلَّا وَقَعَتْ فِي يَدِي فِي كَفِّي رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ فَدَلَكَ بِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ وَجِلْدِهِ. He says, one thing I saw, the love these people had for Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Nabi Sallam had to merely spit. They would not even allow the saliva to fall onto the ground. A person would grab it in his hands and he would wipe that saliva over his face, over his body, to show his love for the Mubarak saliva of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he continues, that وَإِذَا أَمَرَهُمْ بِأَمْرٍ ابْتَدَرُوا أَمْرَهُمْ. When Nabi Sallam had to issue a command, no sooner that he gave the instruction, immediately the Sahaba would implement that, put into practice. And he says, وَإِذَا تَوَدَّعَ كَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى وَضُوءِهِ. When Nabi Sallam used to make wudu, he saw when the water used to drip from the limbs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would not allow the water drops of wudu to fall onto the ground. They would grab it and wipe it over their faces, over their bodies. If some sahabi was not fortunate to get those drops of water directly, he would go to another sahabi, take the moisture from his hands and wipe it over his body. And he says, وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمَ خَفَضُوا أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَهُمْ. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to speak, they would immediately become silent, listening attentively with undivided attention, latching onto every word of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, وَمَا يُحِدُّونَ النَّظْرَ إِلَيْهِ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. They would not stare and ogle at Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of respect for Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he saw all this, فَرَجَعَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. He went back to his people, the mushrikeen of Makkah. And he went to them and he said to them, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ وَفَدْتُ عَلَى الْمُلُوكِ وَفَدْتُ عَلَى قَيْسَرْ وَكِسْرَى وَالنَّجَاشِ إِنْ رَأَيْتُ مَلِكًا قَدْتُ يُعَظِّمُهُ أَصْحَابُهُ كَمَا يُعَظِّمُ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا. He took the oath of Allah, that by Allah, I have went in jamaats, in groups, to great, great kings and emperors of the world. I have been to the palace of Julius Caesar. I have been to the palace of the Khosrows. I have been to the palace of Najashi. But nowhere have I seen the subjects, the people of these emperors, revering, honoring the king to the degree that I saw the Sahaba honoring Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these were the factors that drew him towards Islam. And after two or three years, he also embraced Islam. When a Sahabi, Hazrat Zaid bin Dathina, radiallahu ta'ala, was brought to the gallows, about to be executed, Hazrat Abu Sufyan, radiallahu ta'ala, not yet a Muslim, he also became a Sahabi later, at the time of the conquest of Makkah. When he was about to execute Hazrat Zaid bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala, He posed a very pertinent question to him. He said to him, أَتُحِبُّ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا الآن فِي مَكَانِهِ الَّذِي هُوَ فِيهِ. He said to him rather, أَتُحِبُّ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا الآن فِي مَكَانِكَ نَضْرِبُ عُنُقَهُ وَأَنْتَ جَالِسٌ فِي أَهْلِكَ. Would you prefer that at this point of time we capture your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in place of you, we behead him, we execute him, and let you go scot-free? Will he be prepared for that? Look at the beautiful reply he gave. He replied, لا أحب أن محمدا الآن في مكانه الذي هو فيه تصيب شوكة وأنا جالس في أهلي. Then I cannot even tolerate this, that wherever my beloved Nabi may be, I cannot even tolerate a thorn pricking the beloved foot of Rasulullah Karim Sa'asim while I sat in the comfort of my home. When Abu Sufyan Radan heard this reply, he had to concede. And he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يُحِبُّ أَحَدًا كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا. That till today, I have never seen anyone on the face of this earth portraying such love for anyone as the love portrayed by the Sahaba for the Nabi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The tolerance, the patience of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the fore at the time of the conquest of Makkah. With the appeal of people of Makkah that had persecuted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, that showed great atrocities against the Muslimin, that drove them out of their birthplace, and they were forced to migrate to Madinah Munawwara. Yet when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah, conquered the city, he did not enter the city like the other emperors of the Kuffar entered towns and countries when they conquer them, proud and haughty, with their heads lifted high, that we want to stamp our authority, we want to show our mark on the people. No. When Nabi Sallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah victoriously, his head was lowered in humility. His head was so low that his beard was touching the saddle of his camel. And with his head lowered in total humility, he was busy reciting the beginning verses of Surah Fatah. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. That Allah has fulfilled His promise. Allah Ta'ala promised that you will give an open victory over the mushrikeen. And now that victory has been given. This was the humility, the compassion, the tolerance of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the army was about to enter Makkah al-Mukarramah, the flag bearer was a Sahabi by the name of Sa'ad bin Ubada radiallahu ta'ala, an Ansari Sahabi. Because now the Muslims had the upper hand on the mushrikeen, suddenly he became excited, the flag bearer, and he let out a war cry in this manner, that Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama, Al-Yawma Nastahillul Kaaba, that today is the day when we'll exact and take revenge from these people. Today is the day when blood will be shed even in the precincts of the Kaabatullah. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala had already accepted Islam just a day earlier. When he heard this war cry, he thought to himself that this will make the people over anxious to conquer Makkah. The people of Makkah will be wiped out. Such a war cry cannot be acceptable. He went to complain to Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also disapproved of this war cry. He took the flag away from Sa'd bin Ubadah and gave it to his son Qais. And he said to Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah, that you in turn let out this cry, that Al-Yawma Yawmul Marhama, Al-Yawma Nasta'zimul Kaaba, that today is the day for showing mercy and compassion. Today is the day when we will preserve the sanctity of the Kaabatullah. We will not allow blood to be shed in the precincts of the Kaabatullah. And in this way, Nabi Islam conquered Makkah. Even the Mushrikeen saw that the odds were overwhelming. They could not confront the Muslim army. So Nabi Karim Sam forgave all these people. After these years and years of atrocities and persecution, Nabi Sallam gave blanket amnesty. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم. That today you will not be taken to task. May Allah Ta'ala forgive you. اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. That go, you have been granted a reprieve, amnesty. We will not put you to the sword. In order to honor people like Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Sallam also made the announcement that مَنْ دَخَلَ دَارَ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ فَهُوَ آمِنٌ. If a person seeks sanctuary in the home of Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, he will be granted amnesty, he will be given security, will not harm him. مَنْ دَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدَ فَهُوَ آمِنٌ. If a person seeks sanctuary in the masjid in the Kaabatullah, will give that person amnesty. مَنْ أَلْقَى السِّلَاحَ فَهُوَ آمِنٌ. The person who throws down his arms and weapons, he will have security. He will be given sanctity and security and security and amnesty. In this way, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave all the atrocities of the past. Abu Sufyan passed a remark to Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who was the uncle of Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that look at the glory of your nephew today. He is tasting the glory of kingdom. In reply, Abbas radiallahu anhu said to Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, that this is not the glory of kingdom. Kings, as I also mentioned just now, when they conquer places, they are proud and haughty, with their heads raised high. Abbas radiallahu anhu replied, that this is the barakat and the blessings of Nabuwat. It is not the glory of kingdom. These are the bounties of Nabuwat, of the prophethood of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed him with such honor, with such prestige, that today is returning to his birthplace victoriously. And now Makkatul Mukarrama, that was once upon a time Darul Haram, this too has become Darul Islam and part of the Islamic State. Some mushrikeen and kuffar were worried that perhaps because of their serious atrocities, they would not be granted reprieve. Among them were people like Al-Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, who fled from Makkah to Mukarramah, went to hide into a place of hiding. But from there too he had hope. When he saw Nabi Sallam granting amnesty, he felt that perhaps he could pardon me as well. And who was Al-Wahshi? No ordinary person. He was a slave that was given a task during the Battle of Uhud by the wife of Abu Sufyan, by Hinda, to execute the beloved uncle of Rasul Karim Sa'asim, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Because Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala had caused great injury and damage to the Mushrikeen forces in the battle before that, in the Battle of Badr, so she was out to seek revenge. So she gave Wahshi a spear that was tipped in poison on both sides. It had a point on both sides. Normally a spear only has a pointed edge on the one side. This was a different type of spear, and she had dipped it in poison, that if he attacks Wahshi, if he attacks Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, if the wound is not enough to kill him, then the poison would kill him. So while the battle raged, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala even noticed that Wahshi crouched behind a rock. But from his clothing, from his apparel, he made out that this is a slave. Slaves normally used to come just to serve their masters, not for the purpose of fighting on the battlefield. So he walked past him. But as soon as he walked past him, from behind, Wahshi treacherously attacked Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and made him shaheed, martyred him. Hinda commanded Wahshi to cut the nose of Hazrat Hamza, his ears, and to cut open his stomach, take out his liver, and in happiness she began to chew at the liver of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, And she uses ears and various organs of the body, made a necklace out of it, and she jumped for joy. So this was Wahshi, who murdered Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, who became Sayyidu Shuhada, the leader of all the martyrs. He was very beloved to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In spite of being the uncle of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was an age difference of only 4 years. He was 4 years older than Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides being the paternal uncle of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was also a foster brother of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because both of them in the infancy, they were also breastfed by Hazrat Thuwayba, who was initially the slave woman of Abu Lahab. At the time of the birth of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in happiness, he freed Thuwayba, in spite of the fact that later Abu Lahab became the sworn enemy of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But nevertheless, because one lady had breastfed both of them in the infancy, so in that way, they were both foster brothers, Hazrat Hamza and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, he was also the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Wahshi fled from Makkah al-Mukarramah, and from his hiding place, he wrote a letter to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people have told me that there are some verses in the Quran that have been revealed unto you, that these verses put me in a very negative mode. I do not know whether my Islam will be accepted, whether my repentance will be accepted. And he was referring to the verse of the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala praises Ibadur Rahman, the true obedient servants of Allah Ta'ala, that وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. These are people who do not ascribe partners to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. They do not kill people in cold blood. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They do not commit fornication. So he wrote to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your Quran mentioned these good qualities of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do not possess any of these qualities. I have committed shirk, idolatry. I have also killed many people in cold blood. I have also committed fornication. Halli min tawbatin. Is there a way for repentance for me? The letter came to Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was read out to Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that point of time, a further verse of the Quran was revealed in order to give some solace to these type of mushrikeen that were in the negative frame of mind. These verses were revealed, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Then except for those people, mushrikeen, kuffar, who repent, enter the fold of Islam, bring iman, then for such people, Allah will be so kind that Allah will even convert their evil deeds into good deeds. So this verse was written by the scribe of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the order of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sent dispatch to Wahshi and his other colleagues. The letter came to them, they read the letter. They were still very skeptical. They wrote back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This verse says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then after repenting and embracing Islam, they do good deeds as well. What happens if I were to recite the kalima, I do not get the opportunity of carrying out a single good deed and my death takes place? حَلِّ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. Is there still a route of escape, of tawbah for me? A further verse was revealed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah Ta'ala will never forgive a person who dies in a state of shirk and kufr. But if a person brings iman, no matter what sins he may have committed, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ, Allah will forgive all other sins for whomsoever He wishes. This verse was written down, sent to these people, to Wahshi. He was still skeptical. He wrote back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The verse says that Allah will forgive whomsoever He wishes. What happens if He does not wish to forgive me? So finally, a verse with a great amount of inspiration, a great amount of hope was revealed, where Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. They say to the people, O Nabi of Allah, say to the people, that O servants of Allah, they have transgressed against their souls, they have committed sins, they have harmed the Muslimin, committed atrocities, whatever sins they may be. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is there to forgive your sins. He is oft forgiving and merciful. This gave the inspiration. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Madinah Munawwara, he went to Madinah Munawwara and recited the Shahada, entered the fall of Islam. Then he would frequent the majalis, the discourses of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to notice him in the audience. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed him, immediately his memory would be refreshed and it would strike him. This was the same person that murdered, assassinated my beloved uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. So one day Nabi sallallahu called him and said to him, that listen, I want you to benefit like all my other Sahaba benefit. But because of this barrier, when I see you, I think of my uncle, I feel because of that, there will be an obstacle in you benefiting from me by sitting in front of me. So Nabi Sallam said to him, هَلْ تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تُغَيِّبَ وَجْهَكَ عَنِّي. Is it possible for you to make yourself scarce, go to another town, another country, and practice upon Islam there? You will benefit much more in that way. So immediately, he carried out his instruction, left Madinah Munawwara. We can well imagine how heavy that must have been upon his heart, leaving the majlis, the benevolent presence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going to a faraway country. He went away to Syria. A poet has depicted this very beautifully. He says that this was the condition of Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala at that point of time, that أُرِيدُ وِصَالَهُ وَيُرِيدُ حَجْرِي فَأَتْرُكُ مَا أُرِيدُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Then I wish to be joined with the Nabi of Allah, but he wants to separate me, so I forego my desire for the sake of his desire. And he left Madinah Munawwara. Later, during the Khilafat of Abu Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, then he returned to Madinah Munawwara and he participated in the battle of Yamama, which was fought against the army of Musaylamatul Kadhab, who made a false claim of prophethood, and obviously claiming to be a prophet, he became murtad, apostate. The people who brought Iman upon his prophethood also left the fall of Islam. War was waged with them. During that battle, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala was fortunate enough. Other people were also instrumental, but in the most part, the Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala was a person that managed to kill this arch enemy of Islam, Musaylamatul Kadhab, on the battlefield. Later, when people used to remind him by way of sarcasm, they used to be sarcastic and say to Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, then anta qatilu Hamza, are you the person that killed Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, the uncle of Rasul Karim sa'azam? He used to reply, Na'am wa ana qatilu Musaylama tilka bi tilka. That even though I committed this heinous crime of killing the uncle of Rasul Karim sa'azam, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala made me make up for that, that I had executed this arch enemy of Islam, Musaylamatul Kadhab, tilka bi tilka, tit for tit. Inshallah, this will compensate for that atrocity. So this was the tolerance of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person that executed the uncle of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was patient, tolerant, even prepared to forgive these people and welcome them with open arms into the fold of Islam. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability of imbuing ourselves with these noble qualities of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. of kindness and compassion, of tolerance and patience, so that inshallah Allah can use us as well as draw cards for non-Muslims to see the beauty of Islam and to see the characteristics of Islam and thereby be drawn into the fall of Islam. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah for our next month's majlis inshallah. It will be Rajab. The first of Rajab approximately will coincide with the 9th of April. So inshallah, our next majlis will be on the 9th of April. And in the morning, as usual, we will have our dhikr majlis before Fajr Salah. Nowadays, Adhan takes place at 10 past 5. So at 20 to 5, half an hour before the Adhan, inshallah, we'll have our dhikr majlis. All are welcome to attend. And those sleep over, breakfast also will be provided for them. So the next majlis, inshallah, on the 9th of April, depending on the moon, it will perhaps be the 1st of Rajab. Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, keep us alive to that point of time and accept us for the khidmat, for the service of His deen, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما بارك على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوصيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا من قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخواني من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل صلي على سيدنا محمد الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات صلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله وصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك يا النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار التحيات لله زاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك يا النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات صلوات الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله صلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله بيدك الخير كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من الداعين واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.